Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon, and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings call of Exide Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Jhawar from Investec. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon to you all. From Exide Industries, we have with us MD and CEO, Mr. Subir Chakravorty, Director of Finance and CFO, Mr. Ashish Kumar Mukherjee, and Head Investor Relations, Shavi Agarwal. Before we proceed, here is a disclaimer for the call. Few statements by the company management in the call made will be forward-looking in nature, and we request you to refer to the disclaimer in the earnings presentation. We will start the call with a brief opening remark from the management, followed by Q&A session. I would now like to invite Mr. Subir Chakravorty for the opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to everyone. Thank you all for joining us on the call. I hope you have gone through the presentation which we shared in the morning on the exchanges. I'll start by talking about the fourth quarter results. Overall, we continue to deliver a steady performance despite inflationary pressures. In the automotive vertical, domestic sales grew year-on-year, supported by OEM demand, though demand momentum was moderate in the replacement market. Automotive exports were impacted by anti-dumping duties in the GCC countries and by the modest demand in the Western countries. On the industrial side, demand was upbeat across verticals such as industrial UPS, solar traction, and telecom, supported by increase in business and commercial activities. If you look at the full year performance, we have delivered impressive growth with sales and PBT growing by 18% each. Our growth has been broad-based, with most sectors registering double-digit sales growth. On the automotive side, we continue to strengthen our position, both with the OEMs and in the replacement market. We have launched technologically advanced products, and our distribution reach has significantly expanded. We are making efforts to increase our international presence and have entered new geographies like Russia. On the industrial side, 70% of the business, including industrial UPS traction, telecom, and solar, have grown at an inspiring rate of 20% to 30% in the previous year. This was driven by strong demand across all the end markets in the industrial vertical. We have strengthened our product portfolio to offer a comprehensive product range catering to evolving market requirements. We are increasing our geographical footprint by building brand resonance in new markets and increasing customer connect through the newly launched app called Exide Edge. This year, margins are impacted by commodity inflation, resulting not only in higher material prices, but also high freight and logistics costs. However, prices have broadly stabilized and inflationary pressures have started easing, which should benefit us in the near term. We are also taking calibrated price increases, which will also support margins. Last time I talked about the accelerated digital transformation we went through in the past few years, and this has enabled us to be more agile and efficient. I would like to highlight the benefits we are driving from this exercise. In the automotive vertical, now we have more micro-market level visibility and hence sharper deployment of strategic initiatives. Today, our team member has almost real-time visibility of performance and channel partners, also enjoy greater transparency and tools to enable growth for their businesses. In the industrial vertical, we are better able to connect with customer and understand their requirements through the digital app Industry 4.0. Initiative has digitalized production processes in factories and information is available on a real-time basis. Further, all processes are more streamlined and we have been able to lower fixed costs. Moving to our lithium-ion cell manufacturing project under our subsidiary Exide Energy Solutions Limited, the project is progressing extremely well. All necessary permissions have been secured and site enabling works have been completed. On-ground construction activity has been initiated and foundation laying work is progressing in full swing. We have recruited senior management team comprising experienced and senior personnel. in functions such as R&D, sales, procurement, quality, IT, and others. This team is expected to ensure timely project execution and delivery. We have so far invested rupees 715 crores in the project. Another subsidiary, Exide Energy Private Limited, which develops and manufactures lithium-ion based modules and packs, is also doing well. The company has received orders of rupees 600 to 700 crore to be executed in the next 12 to 15 months for its various verticals such as two-wheeler, three-wheeler, commercial vehicles, and telecom. On the outlook for the lead-acid battery business, we are positive given both near-term and medium-term drivers look promising. With rising preference for personal mobility, increasing inter- and intrastate connectivity, increasing prominence for technologically advanced products and solutions, demand is expected to be high in the automotive vertical. Increased government spending on infrastructure development and increasing business activity is keeping order inquiry high in the industrial vertical. We are continuously evaluating the market scenario and working towards introducing products which cater to changing industry requirements. Our balance sheet is strong with zero debt equity and our cash flows are positive. This places us in a strong position to tap new opportunities. With this, I close my opening remarks. We will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you talk about for FY23 broader growth for the key segments, replacement, OEM, and industrial and exports, how they would have grown in FY23 full year?
Sorry, I could not get your question.
For full year FY23, what would have been indicative growth rates for automotive OEMs, automotive aftermarket, industrial segment, and exports?
FY23, we have already said that we have grown at 18% for the whole company, and the growth rates have all been in double digits across verticals.
Okay, okay, got it. And second question pertains to the replacement market growth. So are you seeing any pickup in the replacement market, given that it has been moderate for some time now, both on four-wheelers as well as two-wheeler batteries?
Yeah, there is some momentum in the replacement market as well. And we hope that this year should see a full pickup of the replacement market post the COVID scenario.
Okay. Expect good growth in FY24 in replacement as well.
Yes, yes.
Got it. And in the presentation, you have talked about margin initiatives that, which we are taking to improve margins. So can you highlight what kind of margin expansion and what are the level of margins you would be comfortable with where we are today?
See, we have been working on two fronts. One is the digitalization initiative, which have been taken, which have certainly given us more visibility across all costs, both in the factories as well as in the corporate. And besides that, we have also taken undertaken cost optimization measures in a very major way, particularly in our factories, which should result in margin expansion in the coming quarters.
Okay, so do you expect it to go back to mid-teens margins or it should be much lower than what we are doing in the past?
We should certainly see significant improvements going forward.
Okay, okay. And you indicated for lithium-ion project, we have invested 750 crores so far. 715 crores. 715, okay, okay. And any guidance for CAPEX for the lead-acid battery for FY24 and for lithium-ion also for FY24?
Mr. Mukherjee will answer that question.
For lead acid business, we have to spend about 500 to 600 crores because lithium ion, of course, we are in the process of placing the orders for the equipment and all that. So this will come in due course of time, maybe late FY24 or in 24-25. So accordingly, it will be spent because out of the total phase one expenditure of around 4,000 crores, this is part of that.
Okay, got it. Thanks. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, please restrict yourself to two questions per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Raghunandan from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. Firstly, in domestic market, can you broadly indicate how the market share was for FY23 across segments?
See, market shares at the individual level, we do not really talk about. But at a broad level, I can tell you that we have, in most verticals, either we have remained steady or we have grown market shares.
Got it, sir. And my second question was on the customer base for the new business. You indicated that company has successfully won orders of 600 to 700 crore to be executed over 12 to 15 months. Can you indicate major customers or segments? Also, for the upcoming lithium cell factory, have you tied up with customers? When can we expect announcements relating to this? I'm just trying to get a visibility on the utilization, in what time frame the plant can reach optimal utilization.
See, first and foremost, for the lithium ion project, the developments which we have done, because you must understand that the homologation process in lithium ion takes about 1 to 1.5 years. So there are NDAs covering this vis-a-vis each customer that we have been working with. So I won't be able to tell you individual customer names, but I can tell you that it goes across two-wheeler, three-wheelers, commercial vehicles, and telecoms. That is one. Number two, your question was that whether I will explain to you how the logic behind what we are doing. See, the module and pack making facility today has got orders of 600 to 700 crores, and ultimately these products which we are making, the modules and packs which we are making, the cells are imported. But ultimately these cells will be produced in our own factory in Bangalore, which we have now, for which construction has already started. So the customer connect has started long back through our module and pack making facility. And that this will flow into the Excite Energy Solutions Limited once we start making the cells in our own factory. So to summarize, we are far ahead in the customer connect race vis-a-vis, I would say, the other players in this field, because of our module and pack making facility is already on stream.
That's good to hear, sir. Just one clarification. So the factory cell manufacturing project is expected to start production by end of FY25, and would you expect that reaching an optimal utilization of 70-80% would be possible within the first 3 years?
So ideally, plant stabilization for lithium ion cell making facility takes about anything between 6 to 8 months. So once we start the actual production run, we'll have to see to what extent we can quicken this timeline. But normally internationally, if you check, then this is the kind of timeline it takes. But we hope that with the help of our collaborator and so on, we'll be able to compress this time.
Just the last question. Once you reach optimal utilization, say 80%, maybe 3-4 years, 3 years after you commence the plant, what would be the kind of ROIC you will be looking at?
Mr. Mukherjee will answer this question.
Thank you.
See, once we reach the optimum capacity utilization, the ROI should be in the similar level of the lead acid business.
Around 20%.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mukherjee. And thank you, Mr. Chakravarti. Have a good day.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So firstly, on the margin side, if I look at your gross margins, what used to be earlier in the earlier years, around 35% has now come down to 30%. And lead prices also, if you look at, I think they were obviously higher a year back, but now they have come down. So why is there so much of pressure on the gross margin side? Is it because mix have changed for us in terms of maybe industrial has grown higher and their margins are lower, or what's the reason behind that? And how should, and considering all that thing, how should we look at margin going ahead? Can we go back to that 13-14% kind of margin that we used to do in say next 1 year period?
See, the margin, as you said, that it has come down is primarily because of the material price volatility. You know, the kind of lead price fluctuations are happening. Even in the last quarter compared to the previous quarter, sequentially the cost has gone up by about 4%. So there is a net impact on the margin of about 2%. So quarter to quarter fluctuations are quite large, and it is not happening in the, this quarter only. It's happening for last two financial years. So that is the primary reason of fluctuation of margins from quarter to quarter. But as you said, that earlier our EBITDA margin was on the higher side. Now we have initiated a lot of cost optimization initiatives, particularly the manufacturing sector as well as in the logistics area. And we expect the results to come in due course of time. And definitely that will result into improvement of margin in going forward.
But so see, the factory cost cutting and all probably can only give you maybe a 1% or 0.5% kind of improvement, because other expenses, that is not that large a component of the cost. The major reduction that has happened in the gross is on the gross margin side. So there, if things can change, then only we can probably see a material improvement in the margin going ahead. So I just want to understand on that part, can we see the gross margin normalizing? Because see, it's only, I mean, the competition is mainly between two players. And despite that, if we are not able to pass on the lead cost increase to customers, this was not the case, say, 5 years back. We probably had much stable margin that time. But now we have seen this reduction happening. So how should one look at that intensity on competition side now? Has things changed versus last what it was 5 years back?
See, manufacturing is not restricted to only manufacturing expenses. Also, it includes materials. And that is where you are talking about the gross margin, which is after material cost. So we expect a lot of improvement there. And also, once the material cost is also in a more stable situation, it also gives a lot of advantage to improvement of the margin. But those are, of course,
you talked about that there's an anti-dumping duty imposed in the Gulf countries. So how big was that market for us, and now what kind of drop you see in the volumes over there after this duty? Are we still supplying, or is completely halted?
No, it has not been halted. Rather, the anti-dumping duty was imposed on certain base level classes of batteries, but right now we are exporting enhanced flooded batteries to the Gulf, and that has started to pick up, which is not covered under anti-dumping.
So mainly the drop in exports is driven by maybe European softness and all.
Pardon?
Correct assessment?
Pardon?
I mean, you mentioned that exports have gone down versus last year. So is that mainly because of that European markets not doing well? Because Europe also used to be sizable for us earlier.
See, there was some sluggishness in the market last year, international markets. But right now we see exports growing in this particular year again.
Okay. And last question on this lithium ion side, you mentioned around 600 to 700 crores kind of order that they have, you have basically. So for the execution over the next 12 to 15 months, so we can assume that almost like 400 crore sales can come from there in this financial year, FY24.
So that is, the lithium ion is under a subsidiary, as you know, Exide Energy Private Limited, which is being now, we have already made the application to NCLT for merger of this company with Exide Energy Solutions Limited. So the turnover will come in that company, and I guess in the consolidated balance sheet it will show.
But we can look at 400 crore plus kind of sales next year.
We can certainly look at 400 to 500 crores of additional turnover from that.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if please restrict to two questions per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Pramod Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So my question pertains to the lithium battery project. You talked about ROEs in this business on a steady state basis, kind of matching your 20% profile, what you have on the lead acid. I'm just trying to understand this because if you look at global names, even the best like Cattle or LG, they struggle to have even high single digit ROEs consistently. So in that context, what is giving us the confidence that we can match the lead acid battery ROEs in our business? So what is, if you can just help us understand what's the edge we have over some of these global peers when it comes to cost or, I don't know, input side, which is giving us confidence that can we even match lead acid battery business ROEs?
See, basically, you have to understand not in a global context, but in the national context. In the national context, our factory perhaps will be the first such giga level factory which will come up. Okay, number one. Number two, you have to understand that in the lithium ion space, the first mover advantage is huge. Why is it huge? Because it requires 1.5 to 2 years to homologate any product. Unlike lead acid, where if you have a steady supplier, a computer can come in and present a product, and after a few months of trials that product can be accepted by an OEM. In lithium ion, it's not like that. Whole process of homologation approval takes 1.5 to 2 years. So, number one, we firmly believe that Exide will have a huge first mover advantage in this space, number one. Number two, the OEMs today are having to import batteries from China or whatever, and import of batteries means it's a huge working capital requirement in an industry which is used to just-in-time operations. So Exide will be able to offer the same just-in-time facility that they are used to, rather than having to predict sales and then import and all the uncertainties and the freight and the logistics, everything else. So that is another advantage. Third advantage is that we are tied with our collaborator for the supply chain aspect as well, which means we can ride piggyback along with S-Volt for our raw material requirements. And S-Volt is a very big player in China. So that gives us the third advantage. So fourth, it will be a turnkey project where S-Volt engineers will be here. There will be 300 to 400 experts from China and other places initially working on this project. So therefore, we can compress the timeline to stabilization of the plant and everything else, so we can quickly get off the ground. And I believe we will be far ahead of the race in terms of, in comparison with the others who are also in this particular game. So this gives us a huge advantage. Now, there is a premium, certainly, which we can look forward to from the customer for all the benefits which we are going to offer to them. So,
please tell me. No, sir, I'm just trying to understand because a lot of the companies, large OEMs, are already importing lithium cells from LG Chem.
This is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. The people who are importing the lithium cells, they are having to suffer all these issues right now.
But even we will be importing the cells initially, right, for the foreseeable future?
No. We are not importing. We are going to make these cells.
by 25
N. It's a cell manufacturing plant. So we are going to make cylindrical cells, make prismatic cells in our plant with LFP NCM chemistry. So therefore, which caters to a very wide portfolio. And we are already supplying with those same formats through the module and pack making plant presently. So this is, all these will translate into definite advantages for us in the medium and long term.
Fair enough, sir. And amongst the customers who have placed orders with you, is there any tier one large OEM who has placed order within either in the two-wheeler space or in the three-wheeler space?
Of course, there are multiple OEMs who have placed orders with us. Not only OEMs in two-wheelers and three-wheelers, also in commercial vehicles and telecom.
Yeah, that's what, because the electric vehicle OEM space itself is quite wide. You got like 500 brands of EVs in India. So I'm just trying to understand the profile of the customer. Is it we are talking about tier one in like say Ashok Leyland or a Mahindra or a Tata in the SUV space or a Hero?
So that's what I'm trying to tell you, that we will not be able to name specific customers because there are NDAs associated with this development. But yes, it covers a lot of well-known OEMs in this field.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks a lot.
We are working with many more today because there is nobody else, because the OEMs understand the readiness of our project. So there are many, many OEMs today who are already working with us in trying to, you know, in order to ensure that their customized products are developed and ready.
Fair enough, sir. That's great to hear and wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Siddhartha Bera from Numara. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first on this next charge order, so are we already booking any revenues in the last quarter or this entire order is incremental which will come up in the coming year?
No, we have booked a certain amount of turnover in the last financial year, but this is the first year where there will be sizable operations.
Okay, and would it be possible to highlight the margins for this order? Will it be at the company average or it will be different?
So specific margins you won't be able to highlight, but these are modules and packs are being made with imported cells. So you must understand one thing, in this entire value chain, 70% of the value lies in the cell making and only about 30% lies in module pack and the rest of the other items. So right now when we are importing the cells, we are missing out on the 70% of that value chain, which we will enjoy once our own plant comes on stream.
Got it. And in terms of the cells, sir, I mean, would it be possible to highlight the cells like we are now importing from China and when you make in India, how much will be the difference in the dollar per kilowatt roughly?
As I have told you, 70% of the value chain is in the cell making activity. So, and these prices, as you know, internationally, they go up and down based on the commodity prices. So, essentially, you can understand that is the motivation to get into cell making, because then you begin to enjoy that 70% of that value chain.
Okay. But possible to highlight how much cheaper can we expect if we are making in India or that?
So how much means, it's very difficult to tell you in terms of dollars because it's a multiple cell chemistry plant. It's a multiple format chemistry plant. So it depends which specific cell you are talking about. It will differ from cell to cell and in any case, it is too premature at this stage. Once the plant gets under operation, then perhaps one will have a better visibility. But all that I am trying to tell you is, against importing the cell and making the cell, there is a huge difference.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing on the earlier question, you know, if one was to think about the competitive edge that Exide will get in the next 2-3 years from the lithium facility, fair to assume that the first one will be cost, that, you know, a cell made in India will be substantially cheaper? Because broadly, your customers will have three options, right? Either they import like everyone is doing today, or they go to the PLI player where they get an additional incentive which Exide does not get, or they come with Exide. I do understand that, you know, like S-Vault is is a credible player and you have a lot of technology support over here. But just any sense in terms of the competitive edge that, you know, if you could quantify any numbers that broadly, just so that, you know, for us to get more insight into the competitive positioning of Exide versus these PLI players and importers.
You know the people who qualify for PLI. You can find out where they are in their manufacturing process. If you do that, I don't wish to comment on others, but if you do that, you will understand where we are vis-a-vis the others. So, who are the people who qualified for PLI? Rajesh Exports. Have you heard of them, about their plant, where they are making, what is the technology? So likewise, if you go through the list, you will come to know who are the players and what is their state of readiness at this point in time. All that we are saying is that perhaps, although one cannot say for sure, perhaps we will be the first gigascale multi-chemistry, multi-format plant in operation in the country. We have already started construction of the plant. How many people have started construction of the plant? You can scan the environment and see for yourself. As I have told you, this will result in huge first mover advantage, because lithium ion cell is not something that you can go and, you know, present one fine morning to a customer saying that I have got a cell for you. All these have to be customized to the customer's requirements. And it's not only just the cell format, it is the module and the pack format which has to be customized. And these require sophisticated engineering processes. And this takes time. It is subject to number of approvals, including approvals from Government of India. So therefore, the first mover advantage is huge. So somebody wants to catch up with us, he's already 2 years behind us. So this is the huge advantage that this factory or this unit will enjoy over competition, number one. Number two, this is not a product where there is any experience in the country. There is no experience set in this country. So we have to learn from others who are already doing lithium ion. And therefore, it is not like, you know, lead acid or any other kind of technology where you can import some machinery, get some people who already are in this business, and you are all set to go. Here, this is something which you have to learn, and you require a very strong partner. And we believe we have got a very strong partner with us. And if you again scan the environment, you will see many of the players who are talking about this project are still scanning for partners. It's not easy to get a partner. So we have already got a very strong partner, and we are at the point of, you know, ordering out the machinery. So we are well ahead in this stage. This is what will give us the competitive advantage.
And so, like, if you look at the S-Vault customer profile in China, they are working with all the major EV players, passenger car EV players. So, but in your commentary, you know, you are talking more about two-wheeler, three-wheeler, and CVs. Is that more because you're talking about next charge? Whereas I assume that passenger car will be a big focus for this facility, right?
See, we have started this project with next charge 3 years back. But now NextCharge will get merged with our main unit, which is Exide Energy Solutions Limited. It will be all one composite company. So it is this experience with NextCharge which has given us this head start. Because please understand, this is not a product, again, as I said, there is no experience set in this country. Unless you actually dip your feet into the water, you don't know what it is like and how deep that water is. So because we started with NextCharge 3 years back, we got the time to understand what this business is really all about, who are the players, what are the constraints, what are the issues that we need to address, which gave us this advantage. Now somebody wants to start from today, already is 3 years behind us. Because we know what the time it takes to understand this technology, because there is nothing available in the country.
correct. So, but fair to assume that even passenger car companies, you know, though a lot of them are doing their own thing in India on the lithium side, but that is also a target customer for us for this facility, right? You will be.
Certainly, there will be some major OEMs who may decide to set up their own plant for lithium ion manufacturing. However, this is not their core expertise. Making batteries is not part of the core expertise of any automotive plant. Certainly, some big companies may decide that, okay, we will, you know, invest in that and develop that expertise. And but there will be many companies who will not want to get into it. Number one, it is not part of their core strength. Number two, this is a very, very capex hungry project. It requires huge capex, 70 to 80 million US per gigawatt hour. Now, an automotive company will need to have very deep pockets to really invest in this. On the other hand, if you look globally, there are many models which are, you know, in existence today. Some have decided to get into it, like Tesla. But there are others who have tied up with battery manufacturers, you know, in terms of dedicating one line for their requirements and stuff like that. So all kinds of models are in place. Now, I firmly believe that all the auto companies in India will not have the appetite to get into this. It is a very different kind of technology, very different kind of expertise from what they already have. So many of them will want to tie up. And certainly there are many companies which will not have the appetite for this kind of CapEx. So I think that a pure battery manufacturer like us will have a substantial role in this growing market.
And then, sir, lastly, just on raw material sourcing, I recall there also you have a tie-up with SWALT, right? Because that's going to be another big thing as all these plants come up.
So this is important because, you know, if today lithium-ion plants are of the order of 30 gigawatt hour, 40 gigawatt hour, so you require scale to be able to actually command reasonable raw material prices for yourself. And our advantage is that we will ride piggyback on SVOLT's supply chain. So that gives us another edge in this market. Today, if you just on a standalone basis set up a 2 gigawatt hour plant, you will not enjoy those raw materials, the same raw material pricing as somebody who is buying, let's say, 30 gigawatt hour. So all these factors, I think, together point to a certain advantageous position for our project.
Great. Thanks for those answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vibhav Zutshi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the lithium ion side. So you've mentioned in the past that in phase two, you will likely also consider blade chemistry, you know, for passenger vehicles, which is, I think, not going to happen in phase one. So just also want to try to understand, you know, potentially by 2027, 28, how are you also preparing for, say, the rise of, advanced chemistries like solid state, sodium ion? Do you have the optionality to integrate that, or would that potentially come later in phase three or later on?
See, right now, there are many technologies all over the world at various stages of development. There is sodium ion, there is metal air, there are various kinds of things. Now, in terms of scalability, today, lithium ion is the only technology which is scalable. Others are at various stages of development, and I'm sure in course of time, many of these technologies will become scalable. Okay, so why we are not looking at other technologies right now is because none of these technologies, in our opinion, are scalable at this point in time. Are we open to look at alternate technologies in course of time? Sure, yes. We can look at it provided something really crops up on the horizon. Number two, within lithium ion also, there will be many developments which will take place. And certainly we will look at each of these developments and see whether it fits in with our requirements or not, or with the requirements of our customers. And we will certainly at that point of time take a decision on this, because no technology remains static. At any, even lead acid is not static. Lead acid is also developing in every way. So therefore, there is no reason to believe that we will be static with respect to whatever we are starting off. This is just a starting off point. And the manufacturing, you see, the machinery is largely the same. What changes will happen will be in the recipes. So the manufacturing machinery, basically calendaring machines, ovens, so on and so forth, they will not go through any drastic change. But the recipe, yes, the recipe will change with time.
Got it. And when I look at your presentation, it looks like you've revised your lithium ion demand forecast versus the last presentation that you posted in 2022. And it looks like the increase is broadly on the stationary side as well as slightly on two-wheelers and three-wheelers. So, is the outlook looking more positive on the stationary side for lithium applications? Just wanted your thoughts on that.
See, this is again an evolving sector, and as time is passing and with the government initiatives happening and so on and so forth, these estimates are getting progressively revised. So all the revisions that I have seen are on the increasing side. It is not on the reducing side. So now with time, I am sure these estimates, initially it was thought that it will be 100 gigawatt hour total requirement by 2030. Now I am seeing estimates of 150 gigawatt hour, and there are some positive estimates which are double this number. So it is all little bit of guesswork at this point in time. All that I can tell you is that there is genuine interest now from all the manufacturers, and both on the mobility as well as on the stationary side, because most of the players have realized that they cannot depend only on the traditional technology at this point in time. So if you ask me what the world will look like, you see, India is today growing, or we have aspirations to go from $3.1 trillion to a $5 trillion economy. If we are able to grow anywhere close to that, I'm sure there will be increasing demand for energy, because without energy you cannot grow. And it is impossible for any one kind of chemistry to be able to satisfy this requirement of energy. So if you ask me through a bit of future gazing, the world which is going to emerge, I think will have a multi-chemistry format with respect to energy in the times to come. You will have lithium ion, you will have lead acid, you may have metal air, you may have sodium ion. So many, all these technologies come with their pros and cons. They are very good for certain applications, not so good maybe for other applications. So therefore, each will find its own space. And if there is growth, I don't think there is anything to fear for any of the players.
Got it. Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, please restrict to two questions per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Pratik from Nippon AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So is it possible for you to share what kind of realizations per kilowatt hour we would fetch once the plant gets commercialized?
Realizations depend on, basically, actually they are all linked to the raw material pricing and the situation, and as you know, it keeps on varying. So it's too early now to get into that exercise. Maybe 1.5 years down the line, one will be able to give a better visibility. All that I can say is, we'll be as competitive as anyone in the world, because we are getting a world-class plant, which is going to be, initially on a turnkey basis, it will be run. So there is no reason to believe that we will be not as competitive as anyone else in the world.
That's helpful, sir. Sir, and in terms of when you benchmark your cells via export versus other competition, how would you stack them? Are you right up there with the other competitors?
We believe that we will be able to, based on whatever discussions we have had with the customers, we strongly believe that we will be able to satisfy the requirement. These are all customized to customer requirements. It is not a question of which is better or which is worse. Each customer, it has its own requirements. They want a certain energy density, they want a certain kind of feature, and so on and so forth.
So if I were to ask you the other people.
Based on our discussions, we do not feel in any sense that we are at a disadvantage. We are able to reach whatever we have decided in terms of product portfolio. We would be able to satisfy the customer requirements which are emanating as on date.
So fair to say you have a very good conversion rate with the customers and you are having a discussion.
Sorry, I did not get your question.
No, I'm saying in terms of converting them from, getting firm orders from them in terms of conversions, once you give your products to earn the sales, should we assume a very high conversion rate?
You are saying that whether these discussions will result in orders? We already got 500 to 600 crores of orders.
No, I know. I was asking for sales. Because you said there's a 2 years homologation process, right? So since you are globally competitive, then there's no difference in technology. I'm just trying to get to, are you confident of very high conversions when you talk to a lot of OEMs? Are you getting that confidence that, that will get translated into orders?
Yes, we already, that is what I was trying to tell you. Many of these conversations today have resulted in this these orders which have already declared in our note, 500 to 600 crores of orders. These orders have resulted from these discussions, and more discussions are ongoing at this point in time. We will be supplying cells, imported from S-Volt and from others. And those cells will ultimately be manufactured in our own factory. So it's like the startup to our entire project.
Got it. And lastly, in terms of technology within lithium ions, sir, who would do the R&D? Would you depend on S-Volt for giving you the technical capabilities, or you yourself would have to set up an R&D plant in India?
We have got our own R&D already set up. Our chief technology officer, she has spent decades working in General Motors. So she's our chief technology officer. We have sourced people from all over the world for this plant, people with experience in lithium ion. And we will be having our own R&D setup, our own pilot lines. So it will be a full-fledged operation. It's not a question of, permanently depending on anybody.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Deepak Jain from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I have one question. We have seen lithium carbonate prices come down by 40-50% recently. Now, in that scenario, theoretically, the battery prices or imports may also become cheaper. And also on a long-term basis, we have seen, battery costs have come down to, I think, $150 per kilowatt hour. So if prices of the battery imports come down, don't you think the return ratios of the project, which you are saying that it will be in line with the company average, that will be impacted? And also we don't have a PLI, benefit.
See, the battery, first of all, please understand what is this PLI all about. PLI is not something that will remain forever. Considering, even if you have to imagine that somebody has got PLI, then that PLI actually is a fixed time format incentive which has been done by the government of India. And I do not see any of the plants anywhere close to state of readiness that we are in at this point in time. In fact, many of them don't even have tie-ups. This is a matter of 4 or 5 years if they are able to really put up a plant and then derive those advantages. So we are not that bothered about PLI at this point in time. As far as the rest of the things are concerned, if import prices come down, import prices will come down only if the commodity prices come down, in which case we will also enjoy the same advantages, number one. Number two is, in a situation where domestic manufacturing is going to start in India, certainly Indian government, requests can be made to them to look at the duty structure. After all, the government is fully committed to encouraging domestic industry. And our Honorable Prime Minister has been talking about Atmanirbhar Bharat. So if a lithium ion plant comes up of gigawatt scale in our country, I'm sure the government will look at it very favorably.
Okay. So what is the royalty agreement with SVOLT? Anything you can share?
It's a technology license agreement. The way it's got a fixed fee and a certain percentage on sales. So there's nothing special or unique about it.
So we can imagine 4-5% as royalty, just ballpark.
I'm sorry, we don't discuss specific royalties or percentages of our technology agreements.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, there were some news reports that FAME might not get an extension. So, you know, in your base case in the presentation, I see that you have even talked about FAME extension. So, would this, you know, the orders that you have got, do you see some kind of risk to that going ahead? Because, you know, mostly the benefit of FAME is there for two-wheelers and three-wheelers.
Unfortunately, the you know, it's coming a little, you are talking about which orders, the orders you have got for NextCharge?
NextCharge and also the future, you know, orders that we have for battery cells.
So you are saying the risk is because of what reason?
So basically, you know, there are some news reports saying that FAME might not get an extension. And therefore, if the prices of two-wheelers and three-wheelers were to rise, you know, two-wheelers currently get roughly about 50,000 rupees per vehicle.
I've understood. You're talking about the PLI for the two-wheelers. You're talking about the PLI for the two-wheelers and three-wheelers, right?
No, sir, the FAME scheme, the FAME, FAME benefit which is there.
Sorry, we are...
Which scheme you are talking about? If you just make it clear, please.
What I'm saying is the FAME which is there, if it is discontinued, yeah.
Are you talking about FAMES? P-A-I-N-T-S?
No, no, F-A-M-E, FAME.
I'm sorry, we are not able to really comprehend your question. Are you talking about two-wheelers, three-wheelers, their PLI, talking about the battery PLI, or what is it that you are talking about?
Sir, I am talking about the FAME scheme, FAME, F-A-M-E.
FAME scheme. Yeah, that basically relates to two-wheelers, three-wheelers, the FAME scheme. Yeah. You are saying that because the government has been very strict with respect to disbursement of the subsidies and all that, whether it will affect. So
whether it will be discontinued in future and therefore the prices of two-wheelers and three-wheelers can rise going ahead.
Right? See, one thing, please understand. I have understood your question. See, we have to look at the broad picture. See, at the end of the day, it's a one-way street. I do not think there is any doubt in anybody's mind about electrification of the economy with the objective of making it pollution-free. On that, there is no doubt. Now, while journeying on this path, there may be many options, many obstacles, certain things that you are talking about may come in the way. But I am sure as a country, we will be able to find the solution to that. Well, I don't think the solution lies in being in going on with, fossil-based fuels and, internal combustion engines forever. Of course, there will always be existence of a certain percentage of these vehicles. But the direction, I think, that has been set for the country and for the whole world, I do not think that is going to change because of one scheme or the other scheme. I'm sure at some point of time, the economy or the country will take a call as to what is to be done with this. So I do not think this may be a short-term problem. I'm sure they the government will find a way to, you know, to mitigate this.
Okay, sir. And sir, just one more thing.
wanted to ask that in terms of margin profile of the business, generally, you know, it has been that B2B margins are lower and the replacement margins are much higher, and therefore we get to an average margin of around 10%. So when we look at the lithium-ion business, do you think the profile of margin will be much higher so that you can, you know, enjoy that 15 or 20% ROE that we are talking about? Are there initial signs that we will be able to get much higher margins in lithium-ion?
See, we expect the EBITDA of the lithium-ion plant to be on par with that of lead acid. So it won't be a drag on the lead acid business, number one. Number two is that as far as margins are concerned, I do not think that there will be an issue on this front. So going forward, I do not think that, you know, there is any cause for worry on this.
No, basically the question was that replacement margins generally are much higher.
So replacement, I'll tell you, replacement. Now, you cannot look at lithium-ion business in the same way that you look at lead acid. For the simple reason, lead acid has got an OEM market and replacement market. So it follows a certain model. Now, people who supply to OEMs, for example, if you look at people who supply other parts, for example, carburetors or seats and so on and so forth, they enjoy fairly good margins, and mostly that business is B2B business. So B2B business does not mean, necessarily mean, a low margin business. It depends on the business model. Now, if the business model is one where you only supply B2B, then of course the same equations don't hold. Then you have to price your product differently. Okay, that is one. And even for lithium ion, there will be some replacement business, particularly two-wheelers and three-wheelers. I believe there will be a good replacement business there.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Krupa Shankar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. I had a question relating to the raw material procurement for the lithium-ion plant. Is it mandatory to procure it only via S-Volt channel, or given that we can, you know, we have lithium reserves in India as well for at least discovered for this moment?
There is nothing mandatory because S-Volt also procures from other people. It's not that they are making all their raw materials. So there is nothing mandatory about it. The supply chain arrangement is such that we will be able to enjoy the same pricing power. Now, if we get a source in India which is acceptable from the point of view of quality and which gives us a better price, certainly we will consider that. There is nothing mandatory in the agreement which states that you have to procure from a certain source.
Sure. Thank you. And the second question, if you can share, sir, relating to what would be the proportion of revenues currently from your two-wheeler, four-wheeler and industrial side of things? And how do you see this evolving over a period of year? Because eventually you would see that the lead acid business would see a decline across each segment depending on the electrification. So how do you see that evolving as well?
So, as I said, you know, if India continues to grow at this rate and we reach a $5 trillion economy by the time 2028 or so, there is no reason to fear for any chemistry, any energy chemistry, because the growth will be such and the requirement will be such, it will be impossible for any one chemistry to be able to satisfy the entire requirement, number one. Number two, all chemistries come with their pros and cons. So if you ask me, I do not see lead acid disappearing. Lead acid will very much remain. Why will it remain? Because there are many segments where lead acid will be the battery of choice. Even for EVs, it is not all lithium ion. Every EV requires one auxiliary battery, which is lead acid battery. And why is it lead acid battery? Because lead acid battery is not only cheap, it actually technologically solves that requirement very well, which is the auxiliary requirement. So lead acid battery is not going to disappear, number one. Other chemistries are going to emerge, and ultimately we will see a multi-chemistry format in our energy space. That's the way I look at it. So there is nothing to fear for any chemistry if India continues to grow. The problem will be if India does not grow, but I do not think that is an option which we are looking at this point in time, anybody.
Sure, sir. And on the regarding the proportion of contribution from two-wheeler, four-wheeler, and industrial.
If you look at electrification, then two-wheeler is a low-hanging fruit. Why is it a low-hanging fruit? Because you can actually charge it in your house. You can open that battery module pack unit, take it to your house and charge it. It's easy to charge. It's a small battery. Now, as the battery, you know, gets bigger and bigger, then you require formal charging stations and so on and so forth, which are not yet fully developed in our country, but I'm sure in course of time that will also take place. Now, starting two-wheelers, obviously, we will see as a low-hanging fruit. Now, intra-city buses, they also provide a certain facility which makes it convenient for them because they do their round and go back to their depots. So the depots can have either battery swapping stations or battery charging stations. So it's easy to do that, and that's why we see many road transport undertakings. Intra-city buses are getting electrified. Then you have the three-wheelers. Three-wheelers already run on, lot of them run on lead acid. It could also run on lithium ion. Again, it's possible out there. In the telecom sector, yes, certain applications, 5G and so on and so forth, there is a case for lithium-ion batteries. So similarly, there will be many last-mile delivery vehicles, and also the taxis which lies in the city. There is a case which may be possible to make out for lithium-ion. So certain segments will obviously be the first mover in this exercise. Certain segments will take time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much for your patience and for listening to us. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further question or would like to know more about the company, we'd be happy to be of assistance. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.